Hey there! Welcome to ABVA's member-centered event. Hang out with us today as we chat with members of the community addressing the challenges of the typical African creative.
Hi everyone, good evening. You're welcome to this month's edition of Hangout with APVA. Hi Sambasa. Hi Andrew. Yes, one of our guests has arrived. Hi Beck Lane. My name is Gracie and I'll be your host for tonight. We're going to wait a little bit for others to join us. Then we'll get started officially. Thank you. He's here. Oh, nice. Okay, we're ready. Okay, our speakers are on board and we are good to go. Good evening, everybody. You're welcome. Please, you can share this with others. They should join us. Today, we're talking about money. So we're going to be talking about monetizing our skills as audio creatives. This is Hangouts with APVA. What we do here on a normal day is to come together as a community of audio creatives to share our experience and to, you know, learn from others who have done it and network with others. Okay, I can see one more person joined us. Kay Stylish, you are welcome. If you can hear me, please react. Case Stylish. All right, so we're going to get started. First of all, we'd like to know our guest, as usual. We need to know who you are. So we're going to be going from, they say ladies first. So we're going to go from the lady to Tony, then we'll go to Andrew. All right, Wangoi, please, you can speak. Tell us your name. Tell us who you are. Tell us your niche of audio creativity. Let's just get to know who you are.
Hello, hello. How is everyone doing? So my name is Wangoi Kimani and I carry the word money in my name. So yeah, really happy to have this conversation of like turning your audio skills into a source of income. I'm a creative entrepreneur. So mostly I write and perform poetry. That's the main thing that I do. But also I do voiceovers. I also do script editing. And I'm also co-running an organization called Female Poets Kenya, which is an association of female artists who are using art for advocacy. And also now around the same, we are definitely using our voices. And yeah, I think that's it as of now. I'll pass it over back to Gracie.
Okay. Wangoi money. So these are lines. All right, thank you. So we're going to go to Tony, then we'll go to Andrew. Hi, Tony. Thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Gracie. Thanks for having me. My name is Tony Onchakwa, mostly known as Tony Doe. I run my own audio production company, Tony Doe Media, and I have a background in radio. I still do a lot of consulting for radio. I create radio content. I create podcasts as well. I manage podcasts. And I think voiceover happens to be my most productive venture. So I also do voiceovers as well. An active member of the APVA and the secretary, or rather the regional secretary of the Guild of Private Broadcast Managers here in Nigeria. So I have some administrative duties as well. So I carry virtual files from one point to the other. It's great to be here.
Thank you. You truly carry it from one place. So nice. Thank you. All right. So we have, someone said money and do. Okay. Everything's aligned, right? So we have Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Grace. Thanks for hosting this conversation. My name's Andrew Sutherland. I am the owner of Big Mouth Studios and Voice Me South Africa. I am a sound engineer by trade, and I run my own recording studio, which I focus on audio post-production here in South Africa. And Voice Me is part of that. And that site is a casting site for voiceover talent. And we help clients primarily in South Africa, but also globally, connect with voice talent in South Africa. I've been in this industry for over 20 years, and I work as a voice artist, studio owner, sound engineer, partially directing voiceovers as well on certain projects. And yeah, I mean, I edit podcasts, I do commercials, I do films, TV shows, anything that makes a noise, I do it. Other than actually making music, that's something that I'll leave to musicians such as Huanggui to focus on. I've never been a musician, but yeah, I generally focus on helping new voice talent, kind of make the best of their talent and get trained up properly and help them with their marketing and their business side of voiceover, and get them going and get them earning.
Amazing. Thank you for telling us all this. Like, everyone here, as you've heard, in one way or the other, there's something happening. There's something being done from the end as audio creatives. So tonight we want to learn from you. Tonight we want to learn from each other. And I can see we have new people joining in. Akumu, hi. I can see Hamba. So sorry. I can see Fumi. I can see Kenyas. Oh, I can see Tikod. Hi, Tikod. I can see who else just joined us at this moment. I think that's all for now. So, we're still going to go around, with the questions. My question would go first to Tony Doe. So Tony Doe, there's the Doe added to your name, just like Mo mentioned. Let's start from that before you tell us your journey into audio creativity. So can you tell us where the Doe is coming from? And at the same time, tell us your experience or, how you got started in the audio creative world.
All right. Doe really was an accident. It just sounded good. It sounded like something that rhymed quite well, quite easily with Tony. While I was working on radio, I was looking for an alternative to a name I was already using. I had a bit of practice in the music space, so I had a particular name I was using at the time. When I was making the transition to radio, it just didn't seem like what I wanted to be remembered going forward. So picking Doe was just kind of easy. It rhymed with radio. And of course, there's the affiliation with the the monetary aspect of it, which is, you know, just kind of like a self-praise sort of. So my journey into media generally began in 2001. I worked as a production assistant on a privately owned TV that we were working on. I put my voice to use. I was asked to voice a one-liner script for a documentary we were working on International Women's Day. And it turned out that worked, and I was told that this voice had a place somewhere in the media. And the journey, you know, sort of like took off from there. About 3 years later, I ended up at a radio station affiliated with the TV station, and that's where things kind of opened up. Started, of course, with production and voiceover work. As I said, voiceover work has been the most productive aspect of my journey. In everything I've done, voiceover has been consistent in various aspects of it. So I did a voiceover gig in 2004, and it ended up opening doors to other opportunities. It opened doors to me having to co-host on radio. It opened doors to me having to voice documentaries. It opened doors for me having to narrate events. And so the journey began, and, you know, we're still here. So of course there was radio, functioned in a number of capacities on radio. I worked on air. I worked, behind the mic as well. Did a lot of production work. I was always fascinated with working with DAWs, Adobe Audition, Quality Pro. SoundForge was practically what I started with. And during the music days, it was Cubase and Cakewalk. So anyways, radio imaging became a strong fascination. And with a lot of what I was doing on radio, mixing sounds, sound effects, music, voices, effects on voices sort of became my signature on radio apart from something else I did. And it continued. When I got tired of radio, all the bureaucracy and red tape, I decided to step back and build what we now know as Tornado Media. Initially, it started as Broadcast Hustle. The whole idea was for me to create radio shows that could be syndicated on different radio stations. I had this really grand idea of what I wanted to do. It didn't exactly fall into place that way. But while I was creating content for syndicated radio, the opportunity to create podcasts presented itself. I stumbled on podcasts kind of like by accident. And this was around 2011, between 2010 and 2012. I'd stumbled on iTunes at some point. And then I was listening to on-demand versions of The Breakfast Club, which was off Power 100 in New York, DJ Envy, Charlemagne the God, and at the time, Angie. And, you know, it was kind of interesting to be able to listen to a radio show without the adverts, without the music interruptions. It was just them doing separate segments or doing exclusive interviews with artists. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm doing a little too much with the kind of ideas I'm working on. So maybe I should start producing specific content that is voice first, as opposed to, you know, doing the whole radio gamut. So that's how podcasting started for me. I started doing, you know, quite a number of shows. I have plenty of podcast shows that are in the graveyard. And in between that, I was buying equipment and, you know, stocking up my production stack, and that kind of helped me to get gigs locally and internationally. And I guess that's, you know, those are some of the things that I'll probably be sharing a little later on. So yes, my journey began in 2001. It's still going. It's still fresh. I'm learning new things each and every day. And I'm here now as managing, podcast editing, podcast producing, podcast presenting, podcast coaching. And I think I'm beginning to really enjoy the fact that I could share, you know, the little I know with others. And I find that the more I share, the more I actually learn. So that's the journey so far.
Wow. From today, I'm going to change your name to Grandpa Tony Doe. Wow, amazing. That's a lot. You've done a lot. Well done. And we're here tonight to learn from you. Thank you so much. I can see we have new people joining in. Hi, Paul. Hi, Remy, you're welcome. Hi, the Mo Lab. Okay, you're welcome. Tonight we're speaking about how to turn your audio skills into a source of income, especially as an audio creative, right? And right now we are getting to know our guests. Let's know their story, how it all started. So right now we're going to be going to the lady in the house, our speaker, Wangoyi. Please, I hope I'm still pronouncing your name well. I'm so sorry in case I'm not. Please tell us your journey into your audio craft. Where did it get started from? What was that inspiration behind it? Then we'll get into, we'll go into Andrew's story. Then we'll go deep down into what we're here for.
All right. So yeah, you are pronouncing it right. It's Wangoyi. So you are doing an amazing job.
Thank God.
And that, yeah, so my journey started in, well, just the other year. It started in 2018, and mine started off from, so yeah, I used to be an active, when I was in high school, I used to do the solo verses and the choral verses and everything in between, but I was not doing the writing part of it, but most of the times, yeah, I enjoyed being in front of people and talking and everything in between. But in 2018, I got into a sort of a competition that was happening here in Nairobi, Kenya. It was a talent show and all that. So yeah, that's where I started like performing my spoken word poetry. But for this particular one, it's definitely not earning from me, but I got my name now got so out there. And yeah, from that particular, so from the auditions definitely and the whole competition, that's where I actually got my first gig. And I was like, so actually this thing can pay. From that particular competition, I first got into an advert, which was an extract of my spoken word. And yeah, now it was put in an advert, and that's how I started making my money. And I was like, okay, this is a part that I would love to follow and explore more. The fact that I really enjoy writing and I enjoy performing, I was like, if I'm really enjoying this, then it would be nice to enjoy it with some coins in my pocket. Well, not coins, but yeah, some good money in my pocket. So yeah, I started. So now I ventured into spoken word poetry. The thing is, definitely when I was starting, I put myself out there a lot. So I used to go for open mics. I used to do free gigs here and there until now it got to a point where now, well, as the craft is getting better, then you're now also in a position to charge, and now you get to understand like how the industry works and how people are charging and everything in between. So yeah, that's how the journey has been looking like. And then I also like, I have an amazing voice, so I was like, you know what, we need to use this voice for, we need to not only perform, we can do like other things. And so I got into voiceover, and also my writing is really amazing. After this I'll be sharing like where you guys will get to see my work and all that. So yeah, I got into script writing and now voiceover script editing. I don't know if you guys have come across that, where a script has like voiceovers where people are supposed to do the voiceovers. So I also do like specific editing for that. Yeah. And then, I got to a point where, I wanted to create a community where other people are also like really benefiting. And also now it's easier for people in the industry when they want to look for different people who have like different kind of skill set, but mostly around voice and spoken word, it will be easier for them. But yeah, I am biased. So I went on to create a community of females, which is now Female Poets Kenya. And yeah, it's now easier for people who are looking for people to do, you know, either host shows, do spoken words, do voiceovers. Yeah, that's how it has been. My journey is definitely still continuing. I feel like this is just the beginning. So yeah, we had to explore and do more and get to where Andrew is with 20 years of experience. So yeah.
Amazing. Once like, I would say I took from yours is that you started with script writing. Then you also noticed the part of, okay, apart from writing, I can also edit. Apart from this, and that's what we're here for tonight, because one thing, you can do three different things and get money from it. I've learned that too, but tonight we'll hear from the speakers. All right, let's go over to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. I mean, from my side, I started working at a studio in post-production in 2005. I worked there for a year. At that point, I was basically just an appy. I was a junior engineer working under the lead guy. But I learned a lot in that first year that I worked for him. And from there, he eventually decided to leave the industry. In fact, he became a tattoo artist and left the industry completely. But that aside, where Big Mouth really started, my company, was we all got together just after that. The production company that was in our building, the video editors, the graphic designers, myself on the audio side, and we kind of all created this conglomerate of companies under the Big Mouth name. At that point, it was Big Mouth Productions. And we worked together for about 5 years from there. And after that, the other partners kind of went on their merry different paths in different ways. And I bought over the audio side of the business, which is when Big Mouth Studio started in 2010. And I've been running that on my own since then. So that's been 15 years of running my own business. And then in 2019, I launched VoiceMe, which is the voice casting site. And the reason I did that was because at the time anyway, there was a lack of good casting platforms or voiceover databases where clients could accurately search for the voices that they're looking for their projects. And there were a few around, at least in South Africa, there was one or two around. But the search engines really didn't work that well, and they hadn't for a long time. So I set out to change that. I launched VoiceMe as a more upgraded version of all of those. And it's kind of morphed into a casting site as well as a voiceover artist education kind of platform. So I do a lot of consulting with voice actors and artists on how to start and how to get going and work together. But from my personal side, I started doing VO in 2010, and I started simple. I mean, I was basically doing guide voiceovers for the video editors so that they would use them as a placeholder for their projects. Because I wasn't really working as a voice artist just yet. I was mainly doing the sound engineering side of things. And I decided that I really actually liked doing this, and the clients that we were working with really liked my voice, and I started getting paid for those, even though I was just the sound engineer in the corner. So I started focusing a bit more on voiceover 15 years ago, and that's been my love ever since. I mean, if I had a choice to only do voiceover, that's what I would do. But it doesn't pay all the bills. So, you know, running the studio and doing the other editing work and the mixing work and sound design and all of the other stuff, it all comes together. And, you know, I think in this industry, even as a general audio creative, you can't just focus on only one thing. You have to be multi-skilled, and the more skills that you have, the more services you can offer, the more income streams you can create. So, you know, if you are good at one thing, start there, add another skill down the line, get good at that, and keep adding. Do start writing courses, learn how to do copywriting, learn how to edit. At the moment, I'm trying to learn how to do video editing, but that's coming at a bit of a different pace for me, because I'm really unfamiliar with editing video. I'm completely comfortable with audio, but video is another story. So I'm struggling with a bit with that. But it's all about adding extra skills and layering them so that you can offer the best service to the clients that are looking for a kind of one-stop shop where you can charge rates for each skill that you're bringing. And every single item that you can add onto your invoice is extra money for you.
Wow, thank you, Andrew. Like, we're going to start from your point here. Have your skills in check. So for audio creatives here, I would like to ask, do you have any skill? Because I believe everyone has a skill or two, but have you recognized the skills you have? Like, do you know the kind of skills? Do you know what you can do, what you cannot do? So I'm just going to be going deeper into that. Let's start from Tony Doe. So let's go towards the part of podcasting. So as a podcaster, what audio skills can I have that can be monetized?
The first I would say is production. I know a lot of people will say hosting, but the truth is everybody practically has a hosting skill, and you see that it's pretty rampant with a lot of creation, and then a lot of them get stuck. I was just, you know, going through something right now. I'm actually lifting as I'm speaking. I was listening to a number of podcast episodes today. I was looking for some Nigerians, you know, trying to produce doing podcasts easily, and so I decided to check some of them out. And then I realized that having hosts really wasn't as much as people would have thought of initially. You can always find people who can either read a script thoroughly or are very great conversationalists. But what you now begin to struggle with is how the content comes together. So how does it come together? Where does the intro start? How long should it be? How do you segue into another segment? You know, what kind of elements do you bring into play? What kind of music do you use if you have to? I'm sure, you know, Andrew can relate with all this. So podcast production for me, especially now, is an essential skill. Whether you're using a typical DAW, which is a digital audio workstation. When we came into radio, I think Cool Edit was one of the most prominent ones on radio at the time. And then, of course, there's Pro Tools. Nobody's asking you to use any of these ones now. Cool Edit, of course, has evolved into Adobe Audition, which I still use. But we have lots of options right now. And one of my favorites that I love to see is Audacity. And I think Audacity was actually created with the podcaster in mind. Because with Audacity, you're not doing too much. You're basically just taking out, you know, what's unnecessary and then keeping everything as compact as, you know, required. But that's even for editing. Production itself, you know, involves the whole idea coming together. What kind of intro are you going to create? What kind of content are you going to have in total? How long would it be? How short would it be? What kind of conversations would you allow? Production is an essential skill in 2025. I think right now it's probably going to be the most, one of the most sought after skills to come. So I'm hoping that many of the people coming into the space, coming into the ecosystem will open their minds to realize that there's a lot more to do in podcasting than just speaking or being behind the mic or being behind the camera, depending on how you look at it. So managing the full production arc from idea to audio file, thinking about the meetings, editorial meetings, the recording schedules, polishing the script, delivery. It's a lot to juggle, but it is really going to be very useful. And when people start taking my courses in podcast management, they will see how useful these things can be.
Thank you. I can relate to what you're saying. Personally, I'm a podcaster, so I know how it is producing a podcast, promoting a podcast, and I know that people out there looking for others to do this for them. So anyone here listening, write down this note, take down these points, because you will need them later. So if you are looking for a skill, get started from the production skills. Thank you so much, Tony. So let's go back to Wangui. As a voiceover artist, as a spoken word artist, as a poet, how can someone monetize that skill using your voice? Where can they get started?
All right. So as a spoken word artist, first things, there are definitely a bunch of ways that you can make money, but the one that tops the list, the one that seems easier or the one that everyone runs for is definitely performances. But now the thing about performances is it might not really be sustainable. As we have said, it's really important, like, to have, you could have this particular one skill, which is the fact that you can do spoken word, but it's not good to just like rely on one thing. And I know, I mean, performances is one thing that everyone runs to, and it's not like a bad thing. But anyway, apart from performances, which is a good way to make money, also we can, you can monetize also by doing storytelling or narrations. And like in this particular like era that we are living in, when you find people are doing like maybe let's say documentaries, you will find that they might have a narrator, they might have or someone who's, you know, telling the story or doing the voiceover. So that's also something that people can, you know, monetize and make money from. Another thing in Kenya, I don't know if this is happening in Nigeria and also like other parts in Africa, but in Kenya, spoken word poetry has been introduced in the curriculum, which is like a really nice thing. So it's now in schools and people are having it, like, you know, in the music festivals and in all these festivals that happen in schools. And so another way to monetize is, actually this one is really a good one, because like not so many people have really grasped like spoken word and the art that it is and all that. So it will be really a good opportunity to go to schools to either do the workshops or the trainings. Yes, this will be like a really good way to make the money. And the fact that it's a new product in the market. So yeah, and most schools really need that, and it will just be amazing to have a season, someone who has been in the market performing and all that to to train the kids. So yeah, also another thing is collaborating with brands. And I know this might not come as easy as it sounds, but either way, this is what I tell people. The brands that you would want to collaborate with, maybe sometimes they already have, like, you know, the content creators that they're looking for and all that. But then again, also you as a spoken word artist, it's important to position yourself in such a way that the content that you're creating is also intentionally focusing on those particular brands that you would want to work with. So if you are a spoken word artist who's doing advocacy, let's say for climate change, then it will be important to have a lot of content that is around that, and if possible, like once in a while, tag these particular people. And also when you're in spaces where these things are happening, like, have the audacity and the guts to tell them that this is what I do. Would you guys like just give me a few minutes so that you can listen to what I do? So yeah, collaborating with brands, and that also falls around, you know, campaigns. There are different campaigns that are always happening. And so if you are depending with your brand and like what exactly you do or advocate for. So yeah. So another thing that I also noticed, so this is just It's just something that I got to know about in just my career. I noticed that sometimes speeches can be boring, and when you have an aspect of someone who can write a speech that is a little bit interesting, you know, like spoken word, when you're listening to spoken word, most of the times it's interesting, even though we are talking about jargon things, like once in a while we put in a little bit of humor in there. And I was like, you know what, we could actually make money from turning speeches into, like, just making speeches like more fun. So speech writing as well, but now in a more storytelling angle. Another thing is live shows, and this is something that we do a lot here in Kenya. We try to do a lot. So yeah, putting up shows and charging for them. So yeah, I think those are enough pointers as of now. Yeah, go forth and make money.
All right, thank you so much. Those were, like, I hope you guys are taking notes. Do a lot, and I've not heard of some before, and they really do make sense. Okay, let's go back to Andrew. So Andrew, as a voice artist, what are some audio skills, or like what are some ways we can make money?
Right. So I want to, just before I get into that, I want to quickly touch on, you know, the idea that people have about voice artists is that it's an easy job. That's just speaking into a mic and then being paid. And that is part of it, but it's definitely not an easy career. You need to be able to, you know, be found. You need to be marketing yourself and have yourself visible to clients. Like, people aren't going to pay you if they don't know that you exist. So you need to really get yourself out there and connect with as many possible clients as you possibly can. And, you know, even if it's just creating a basic profile, even on social media or on casting sites, there's hundreds of voiceover casting sites worldwide. Showcase your voice, like, get onto all of them, but don't rely just on the casting sites. That's a very passive way of getting work. In that, you can post your demos there, you can have a profile, but you're only going to get jobs if you're cast and if the client wants to work with you. So it's a very passive way of doing it. It's basically waiting for the phone to ring, right? Whereas if you actively market yourself, if you see yourself as a business and you are reaching out to clients, you're making connections and you're building relationships with clients that are in your market or in the niche that you're wanting to do voice in. And that might be commercial, it might be explainer videos, it might be poetry, whatever the case is, you need to be connecting on a personal level with those people so that they know that you exist. And once they know that you exist and you build that relationship, they may bring work to you. So basically, don't wait to be discovered. You need to tell people what you do and connect with people. The other thing is, don't try to be everything to everyone. You know, people have, skills that are they're better at and others that they aren't. So if your voice suits commercial voice, commercials and ads and advertising, reach out to those clients or those production companies or those agencies that are producing those. If your voice naturally lends itself to corporate narration or audiobooks or, you know, any other kind of voice, reach out to those things. You don't have to do everything. Even though you could do everything, you probably find you're going to be stronger in some niches. So don't try to do everything all at once. The jack of all trades is definitely something that you want to avoid. Rather specialize and position yourself as the specialist in that particular genre, and go for those clients, at least in the very beginning when you're starting out. 15 years down the line, I could quite confidently say that I could probably do any kind of voiceover, but the bread and butter for me is still long form narration, corporate explainer. I've got that kind of voice. So I do a lot of that kind of work, and globally. In fact, even based in South Africa, most of my clients that I do voiceover for are not based in South Africa. They're overseas. So I specialize in that kind of stuff. The other thing is that you need to price with some confidence. You know, as a beginner, it's okay to start small, but never say, I'll work for free just for exposure, because exposure is not going to pay your bills. Instead, just even if you're charging something, that's fine. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a super high rate. You can start small and build it up as your skills develop and as you get better and better. And once you have, you know, a good sense of your skill and your experience, you can start charging more. You need to remember that you're not just a voice. You're a service provider. You're running a business. It's Andrew Sutherland Voiceover or whatever you are. And you are providing a service to your clients. You're solving a problem for them. And that is worth something. It has value. So you need to really consider that and don't sell yourself short. You're probably much better than you think. And I'm not sure if I answered the question. I can't remember what the question was.
All right. The question you said a lot that has just, you know, when you hear, you just say, because they make sense. The question which you still answered part of it is, as an audio creative, as a voice artist, how can we monetize our voices? You've given us some tips, yes. But are there some specific skills, specific things we should know?
Yes, I remember now. So then I went off on a tangent. There's a bunch of different ways. So the easiest way to think about it is that, you know, every service provider, every business out there needs to sell a product or a service or something. Every business that exists in the whole world needs to have some kind of sales in it. That's what they need. And you can approach anybody in the entire world and sell them your services as a voice artist. You can help them sell their product better. And if you're trained and you can deliver a read that is more convincing than, you know, markdown in marketing at the company who has never done voiceover in his life, their product and their ad or whatever they are producing is going to work better for that company. It is worth their investment in you to do it right and do it properly, because you can convince people to buy their product better than they can. So that's one way. The other way is to, you could do podcasts and Tony will speak more about monetizing podcasts, but that takes time and it's very difficult to monetize a podcast that, is new, or if you don't have some kind of celebrity, guests, or if you're not a celebrity yourself. So it's hard, but you know, guys like Tony will be able to assist with kind of getting your engagement up, and I'll leave the podcasting talk to him. He's much more experienced than I am, but that's another way you can do it. You could if you're experienced enough, you could sell courses or workshops or training programs that help people learn more about. That's kind of what I do as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can sell yourself. Commercial is the easiest. There's audiobooks. The one part of voiceover that is doing very well right now is gaming. Gaming VO is becoming very popular, and especially companies in the US are starting to look for African talent for their games, because they are creating games that are more diverse and are targeting more people in different parts of the world. So they have characters that are African that need African voices, as opposed to someone in America putting on an African accent and thinking that they're in Wakanda. It doesn't exist like that. So they're looking for genuine, authentic voices to use in their games. The same for audiobooks, the same for animated series, films, anything. There's so many different things that you can put your voice to. I can't even list them all here. The one that's very obscure is toys. Like every time you find one of those little small toys that you squeeze a button and it speaks to you, someone has recorded that voiceover and they've programmed it into the thing. And toys is a very weird niche market, but I do know a lady that specializes in doing voices for toys, physical toys, and that's what she does. There's tons of different places where you could sell yourself, and it's never ending. Anything. The average person probably hears 200 to 300 voiceovers a day if you were to count, and someone was paid for every single one of them. It might as well be you as well.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. So I'm so the part about toys. Okay. Please, who else is about to go to start researching on how to get started on that? Because wow. Okay. Thank you so much.
It is very random. It is a very random little, very small niche, but someone's got to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Thank you so much for that. I think I would say that has opened our minds to knowing that there's so much more than we think. I see a lot of people say, okay, I want to be a voice artist, and all they are thinking of maybe is just doing ads or being on TV. There's so much more you can do. Like, find your own place and excel in it, right? So let's go over to the part of now finding these jobs, you have the audio skills. How can you find that job? How can you get that money? So let's get started from Tony. Where is the best place, or how can we position ourselves in the right place to use our skills to make money as a podcaster?
Well, as a podcaster, to be honest, it's a lot easier to put yourself out there now than it was when we started. Your phone, your laptop, if you have one, is already your canvas. So that's, you know, where you create what it is you're going to create. And, you know, for a lot of podcasters who can't afford even more, the phone is already the first place. And then again, where are you found? Where is your museum? Where do you display what it is you do? It's social media. One of the things I found out again today is, yes, despite the fact that I'm always advocating for search engine optimization for podcasters, because these days you have a lot of podcasts and it's kind of difficult to find you if you don't have the appropriate keywords, is still word of mouth and social media. And social media is practically word of mouth for everybody, because this is where we have our conversations. This is where we're having a conversation about what we do right now. And I'm sure based on what we're doing right now, people are already searching for who we are, what we do, and trying to figure out whether or not they can afford our services. So social media is your template. It's your display room, if I can put it that way. It is where you can actually put out what it is you do. Very early on, I used to gather whatever it was I did and put them up before I discovered what podcast hosts were. SoundCloud was available. So with SoundCloud, I used to create a variety of playlists. I had playlists for my radio imaging work. I had playlists for voiceover work. I had playlists for some experiments I've been doing that I'm thinking of bringing into the podcast space, where it's just me playing a variety of funny characters interacting with each other. And I put them in all these places. And I would find something on social media with one of these things and then use that to respond, leave a comment, and then share a link to what it is I do. So have a portfolio, have a place where you upload what it is you do. As I said, it's a lot easier now than it was when we started out. So with anybody right now who doesn't even have the resources to build an actual website, you can use a universal URL that links to your various social media platforms. Linktree, for instance, you can bring in your Instagram, bringing your podcast URL as well, bringing your other social media features, and then make sure that you're as present in the platforms you're really active in. It's good to be everywhere, but it's also good to know where exactly it is your value is best felt and where you're most comfortable. So be active on those social media platforms. Reach out to people on those platforms who you believe share the type of values you share. You don't have to pitch directly to them immediately. Strike up conversations about the industry. Read up. And it's one thing that people, you know, do not pay attention to. Read up about your industry. Find out what goes on in the industry. Don't just be a part of the industry waiting for something viral to happen before you have a position on it. One of the things we need to do, especially as members of the EPVA community, is social media platforms, that there's more to what we do than, you know, what they think we do. I'm grateful for what Andrew has just shared about the fact that voice could be used in a toy. I was content with gaming and chasing animation. Now I've seen another angle. So this, you know, these are the things that happen. Use social media for a little more than the gossip you get exposed to, for a little more than the viral things you get exposed to. But when you use social media, where are you telling people to go check you out? Put clips, you know, of what it is you do here. There are tools that can help you do that. Whenever I put out a podcast episode, I usually try to get about 3 bits of 30 to 60 second clips of the podcast episode where I paste here, and then it gets people's attention. I've been able to get voiceover gigs just from somebody listening to a bit of my podcast. So while you build your portfolio, use the social media channels to put yourself out there. In the APVA community, we do something every Monday. Gracie, you know this, you're our community manager, where we come and we display, we put it out there. This is what we do. Find us here. This is important to find your community. And I'm grateful that system is opening up more to collaborative efforts. We're having a conversation with people from different parts of the continent, and this is fantastic. So when we're able to bring ourselves together and work as collaborators, it also helps with amplifying what you do. I like something Andrew said, and this is even interesting. I'll tell you now that if you go to a church where a basic thing as a church announcement is being made, make it your duty to handle that church announcement. If you have a voice for it, if you're into podcasting, voiceover work, or even spoken word, take over and begin to do it. A few years ago, I was in a different church at the time, and I just approached the pastor. I was like, you know what? These announcements that you keep reading, you could really sound better, you know, than what, you know, you're currently doing. And he's like, how? I'm like, give me a script. So he gave me a script. We did a production, and it sounded awesome. So myself and my wife began doing voice work for the church in terms of announcing guest profiles or reading out church announcements at the end of the service. I didn't know that in the same church, there was a producer who worked with an advertising agency who had been paying a lot of attention. Now, he knew I had radio background, but he didn't know how connected or networked I might have been. So he approaches me. He's like, okay, look, they're building like a database and, you know, something is about to come up. Do I have a portfolio? I'm like, portfolio, okay, which one do you want? So I sent him what I had. And, you know, for about 2 years now, I've been doing exclusive voice work for some major brands, one of which is Nestle's Maggi. So put yourself out there. If you know you have it, put yourself out there. I like what Tolu is doing with VoiceVerse. You know, I'm really excited about that community as well. I like the fact that the guys who come into the VoiceVerse are proactive. You know, there are a lot of people who could come in and be like, you know what, I don't know if my skills are good enough. But no, people are doing stuff, posting on Instagram, coming into the community and sharing the links. And we're all buddy up. We're all like excited to teach you. And then Tolu takes time out midweek to, you know, teach specific requirements that are not exactly taught in voiceover classes during the week about how to actually put yourself in a position to be noticed. So there's so many opportunities. There's no one way about this, to be honest with you. But wherever you are active, let people know in that community that this is exactly what you do. Put a price on it, or if not, exchange it for a value of something that could open doors for whatever you could put a price to a little later. So yes, communities, networking, using social media to amplify. Use social media as your bullhorn and people will notice.
Thank you so much. Please, if you are still here, react. Let our speakers know you are really learning from them. And if you have any question, just get it ready. You raise up your hand. Okay, you can't raise up your hand. So would you react? Then I would allow you to speak so you can ask your question to our speakers. Thank you so much. So there's a part about pricing I heard from Tony, and I think we should dwell on that, especially for beginners. So we have the skills. We are ready to get started. How do we price our services? Is there like a standard pricing? Because I think voiceover artists have like their rate card. But I don't think podcasters, like for podcast management, I don't think we have such. For spoken word artists, maybe being a script writer or editor, stuff like that, I don't think there's a rate card, official rate card. So I don't know. Andrew, would you like to speak to that? How can we price ourselves? So we're not underpricing or even overpricing, but we're just right.
I think this is probably one of those questions or topics in the VO industry that is really hugely debated. And there's no real easy answer for it. So I can only really speak from a South African perspective because that's the market that I'm living and working in. So we don't have, I mean, we have a guideline, a rates guideline that we work from, which is something that was established by the local talent agents many, many years ago. And that's kind of become at least the industry standard guide for what prices for certain kind of voice work should be. So for the most part, I try to stick with that guideline. And if anybody wants it, they can reach out to me, send me a DM or something, and I can send that to them. But the reality is that it often doesn't work with the clients. You need to, at the end of the day, the pricing for a project, you're dealing with a budget from a client, and some clients might be really successful companies that have a bottomless budget, like banks or insurance companies that really have, that can afford to pay those kind of industry standard professional rates. But there's also a part of the market that are small businesses or individuals that simply can't afford those kind of rates. So the reality is that you can choose what to charge for whatever you want. There's no set pricing that you have to charge this because, you know, this is what the rate guide said. There's guidelines and you can kind of be in line. And that would basically mean that you're in line with what, the fair market value is for that in that region or that country. So, I mean, my rates for South Africa will be very different to rates in Nigeria or Kenya or even the States. So when I'm doing international work, I'm looking at, say, American guidelines for voiceover prices because that's where they're going to be using the final recording. If they're doing a commercial for South Africa, I'm going to be looking at the South African guidelines to price my work. If it's for Nigeria, I've never done a voiceover for Nigeria. I'm probably a little bit pale and white for that market, to be honest. I don't think it would go down very well for that, for the demographic of Nigeria, but I would be charging slightly differently for that market because it's not the same. America has nearly 400 million people. South Africa has 60 million people. You can't charge the same amount for the same kind of exposure. It's not, it doesn't balance. So you can really choose whatever you want to charge. I would say as a baseline is set some kind of minimum rate that you're willing to work for that is for the time spent that you're going to spend on it, and then work out the usage or for the exposure of that depending on what it is. So you earn at least what your time is worth, and then you get paid extra. And especially in commercial works, there's residuals and usages that can be renewed. So, you know, you can do a radio ad that goes out for a month, and then they might break for a few months, and then they might take it, they might air it again, and then you get paid again for it. So that's where that sense of passive income can come in, is especially in commercials, you can be paid multiple times for the same thing that you did years ago because the client keeps using it again and again and again. I did a commercial for Hellmann's mayonnaise about 6 years ago, and they're still using it. And I get is a notification from the client about once a year saying, "Hi, we're renewing this ad. Please send us your bill." And then I send them the bill, and I don't have to do any more work. It's fantastic. But you know, then there's other genres where you know it's a once-off rate. You charge once, and then that's it. Things like explainer videos or corporate narration, where it's being used for a specific event or a specific purpose that's immediate, and they might use it internally for longer, but it's not going out into the world. It's not, you're not being exposed to a broader market. So I would say when you're coming down to your pricing, consider the market it's going to be exposed to and how widely it's being exposed. Radio and TV and online ads are very widely exposed. Corporate narrations, internal training videos are not as wide. So generally those are going to be kind of once-off fees. Higher fees, but once off. So it's really about just finding a baseline that works for you and what you consider your own value to be. And you can start creating your own little rate card for the stuff that you're being booked for now. You don't have to have a rate for every single thing that's out there. You can figure it out as you go. But if you are starting your journey in, say, commercial voices, work out something for yourself for your big five genres, your radio, TV, online, streaming, and say maybe podcasting ads, and have a rate for those and have a 1, 3, 6, 12 month usage for those. That can be the start of your rate card. When you start getting booked for narrations or long form stuff or corporate AV, add that to your rate card, figure it out, figure how long it's going to take you to read that script and how much it's worth to you and how much it's going to be worth to those clients.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. I totally agree with you. So anyone here, your assignments from tonight's session, go and create your rate card if you don't have one yet. Because if you are pitching out yourself and trying to find jobs, when it comes, you need to be ready. So get those rate cards going. And let's go over to Wangyu. So I have a question for you for voice artists, spoken word artists, in general, from your end, we'd like to know, for anyone ready to start, what do you think should be the first step in going all out and getting monetized?
Could you kindly repeat the question, kindly?
Okay, the question is, for anyone who's ready to start, what do you think should be the first step to take?
The first ready to step when you want to get monetized?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's also like related to, so when you almost get, it's, I don't think it's an almost or anything, but now when you are in the process where you're definitely doing your art and now you're in a space where you want to start making money from it, So this is something that I really learned the hard way, and being in an industry where, as Andrew was saying, for them, they have like a standard rate. For us here, it's, to be honest, I've never heard of a standard rate, and there's nothing that really guides you that this is how you're supposed to charge, like maybe your performances or what you are, what exactly you're doing. Could be the voiceover, the spoken word artist, could be the performances. Like, we really don't have a standard one. And for me, it was really important for me to, so we already have a community of poets here. It's just that maybe there is no like a specific group that governs us, but there's definitely a community. So for me, if I'm being honest, it was more of having conversations with the people who have been doing it for some time. So I sat down, had conversations with them, like, how do you charge if like this is a gig and all that? Like, so I had to ask those questions. And now that I'm in a space where I'm also like leading a group of female artists. So before you, when you get to that point where now you need to charge, and remember, we are like two different, we are all like different artists, and what I'm bringing is not like what everyone else is bringing. So as we have said, it's important to have a minimum rate, but then again, depending with what the client is asking for, then write down all those things and see like what it's gonna cost you. And I'll like, yeah, do the math. So, and definitely have a rate card. It's important to also like compare notes with other people who are in the industry just to see what people are charging. But then again, you don't have to charge what they are charging, because I could be bringing something, you know, I could just be having an extra spice to what I do. And with that extra spice, it definitely gives me the leeway to charge more and all that. So yeah, it's get a rate card, like know the different rates that people are charging, and also like know what your worth is. Yeah.
Know what your worth is. Thank you so much. All right, so we're going to be going to the audience. If you have a question, please can you react right now so I can allow you to speak, because time has gone. This is 8:07 right here in Nigeria. Is anyone here with a question from what our speakers have mentioned tonight? Like, there's just been a lot of, I don't know what word to target as, but there's just been a lot of work. Okay, we have someone here. Akumu would like to ask a question. I'm guessing, right? Okay, she reacted, so yes. So I'm going to invite you to speak. Then anyone wants to speak, please, you can request to speak and the mic would be granted to you. So Akumu, I'm inviting you to speak. I don't know if you are receiving the notification. Olajide, I don't know if you, okay, I think, or you can type in your questions if you have any questions, because we've kind of come to the end of tonight's session, but we need to know if anyone has any questions. Okay, there's a request. Jeremiah has a question. Okay, Akumu is here. So after Akumu, we'll go back to Jeremiah.
I am a podcaster, but I'm never even considered audio skills, or, you know, just doing voiceover and stuff. So I have two questions, actually. That's one part. Where would I start if I want to explore the audio voice side? Like, what kind of courses would you suggest? And then also for podcast production, what courses or websites would you suggest? That's it.
Okay. I can see Andrew, you can answer it, or Tony. Okay, Tony is, I don't know how, Tony is longer a speaker.
I think
Andrew,
Tony may have dropped off. Let me take this one. I'm not 100% sure about specifically podcasting skills, but from an audio editing skill set, you might want to do a course in sound engineering. Even something online, from Udemy or what, any one of those, or just do the tutorials for Adobe Audition or any of the other, DAWs that are out there, so that you can learn how the workflow works in that software. And the more you play around it, the quicker you're going to get. From a voiceover perspective, it's a bit trickier, because that really is going to come down to, coaching with someone and training with a voiceover coach to upskill you. The thing is about coaching is that, or monetizing your voice, is that clients really do want to work with the best, and you need to stand out to the clients that you're approaching. So if you're not, if you don't sound professional, they're not going to take you seriously. So I would really strongly advise anyone that's looking to go into voiceover at in any level is to work with a voiceover coach so that they can skill you up to a point where you are at a professional level, you are a proper performer, and you can really deliver anything that they're asking you from. That would be my first step in anyone's journey, is that coaching and training. And I say the same thing on my own podcast as well. I harp on and on about getting coaching and training, and a lot of people try to skip that step and just go straight to it. But the reality is clients can hear when you're not professional or not trained very, very quickly. They can make that decision in the first 5 to 10 seconds of hearing a demo if someone is going to crack it or not. So getting trained up and professionally trained is really important. As for the audio editing, there's thousands of tutorials for Audacity and Adobe Audition and all of the doors out there. And it's really just about playing with the software and getting used to how things work. But if you want to go a bit deeper into that, a sound engineering course where you can really learn about how sound works and, you know, signal flow and where you should use EQ and compression and all of the other tools that help bolster that sound of your voice or the sound of the mix together and actually understand what they are actually doing to the audio. I think that would help a lot. And I think a lot of people don't put enough effort into learning what they're doing. They just slap on a template and hope for the best. I think Tony is back. I don't know if he wants to add to that.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, definitely. Andrew is very spot on. Actually getting access, the courses are actually available. They're out there. They're available for anyone who is actually willing to search. Many of these online course platforms have them as well, Udemy and Co. But I'll say this too. For someone like me, I was fortunate to have, well, gained direct access to actual sound engineers, because, you know, I was in the same space with them, and these were people who were working with tools that were way beyond what we now know as digital tools. So I kind of had the advantage too, and I don't know if these things are still available, and this is where internships are important. If there are young people in the space here, I'll tell you this: if you have desires to work in the media space, especially as a front of camera, front of microphone type of person, one of the best ways you can get into these spaces is to work as an intern in production. You'll be amazed at the amount of skills you'll be exposed to in those spaces. Away from that, if you're online, if you're very active online, YouTube is an incredible resource. I have a specific person I can refer to on YouTube. Even though he's pivoting into AI now, he still has lots of videos that can help you get off to a great start if you're working with Adobe Audition. He can help you get off to a great start if you're using Audacity. He has a radio background. He runs his own radio imaging company. I'm talking about Mike Russell. That's Mike, M-I-K-E, Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. Search Mike Russell Audacity or Mike Russell Adobe Audition. His channel will pop up in your face. He's very easy to listen to. He's very hands-on. His lessons are practically bite-sized. And a lot of what I picked from him are things I was able to build my own templates on. So one of the, another really, just like Andrew said, you have to be interested and committed to learning, because it goes beyond you just taking a template that has been shown you. So you have to actually have a passion for what you're hearing, and it will help you develop along the way. A lot of the things I developed along the way came from how I imagined I wanted to hear these things. So I would push, you know, the tools to the limit to gain as close as I can to what I need based on what I have. So these things are available. It's interesting now that it's been raised here because I'm excited about something that the APVA is working on. And this is where specialists, are going to have a place to share their expertise and skills. And then those of us who are looking for these particular skills can log on to the APVA website and then sign up for these courses. I'll also be working on some of these courses as well. So it will really be exciting for me to bring the little I know to the mass audience and, get people to enjoy them as well. So yes, you need to be committed. You really need to be committed. And these tools are out there.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Andrew. I'm sure you've answered her question. There are a lot of ways to learn all this. And yes, APVA is about to launch something exciting. Stay tuned. All right, thank you. So we're going to be going over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I know you have a question. You're a speaker now. Please, we have to be fast. We need to end this space so that our guests, everyone can go. All right, Jeremiah.
Good evening. My question is that for upcoming voiceover artists, is it advisable for them to try and get jobs in all various voiceover websites like Voice123 or Voices.com? Is it advisable for them to do it, or they should first of all hone their craft and try around local sourcing firms before they put themselves on all those kind of platforms? Thank you.
I think I'll take that one, or at least partially. There's no harm in putting yourself out there. If those sites offer a free profile and you don't have to pay for them, which Voices and Voice123 and there's a bunch of others, put yourself there. But like I said earlier, it's going to be a passive source of potential work. There's none of those sites can guarantee that you're going to get hired. The best way to get hired for voiceover work is to build relationships with people directly so that they come to you directly, not through a site or someone else's business, and they come to you because they know that you're the guy for the job. And building those relationships is going to be crucial. I find that, for me anyway, LinkedIn is a really good place to find and research the voice clients or the buyers, the people that are going to be hiring you, to and connect with them and pitch them and build that relationship so that when a job lands on their table, they're like, you know who would be perfect for this? Sorry, I've forgotten your name and I can't see your name.
Jeremiah, I believe.
Jeremiah. Sorry. I had you on the screen somewhere, but I lost your name. So, you know, it'd be perfect for this. Jeremiah, this guy that's emailed us, consistently over the last few months. He sent us demos. You know, this is the guy that we like for this, and we know exactly how to get in touch with him. So I think it's a bit of both. There's no harm in being on those casting sites, but they're going to be passive. I spoke to a bunch of different artists recently, and the reality is that the casting sites will probably only provide at best 5 to 10% of the jobs that come to you through a year. If you're with an agent, it might be another 10% of those jobs that come to you in that year. The rest of it is that rest of that 80%, that 70 to 80%, is going to be from your own direct marketing to clients and building relationships where they know you. They're not, you just not just a name on a site amongst 1,000 other people that also could do the job. They want you. They want Jeremiah, and building that relationship is going to be the crucial point. So I'd say do both. Approach local clients and businesses in your market, as well as put yourself up there on the platforms. There's no harm in doing it.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much. We're going to the next question from Victoria. And I guess that is the last question. Okay. Yes, it is.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. All right. My question is based on voice cloning. Like, I've been receiving some, I don't know, should I say funny emails, or if they are actually important or good. Like recently I got a mail for voice cloning and I don't know if it's a company or an individual, they offered to pay me some amount of money to clone my voice. So is voice cloning good? Or I don't know how to ask the question. Like, is it good to accept that kind of offer? Is it a good thing? Is it not like stealing my, I don't know. I don't know if my question makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense.
100%. Okay, it's a tough one. I haven't dealt with anyone, asking me for my, to clone my voice. But there's a couple of things that you just need to look out for and a couple of questions that you need to ask the client that's looking for that. There's an organization in America called Nava. And if you go to their website, it's navavoices.org. They've got a section on AI questions. And these are questions that you can ask the client. Will my voice be used to synthesize and create derivative works? Or will it be used to expand a data set in order to create a merging of different voices that don't sound completely like you, but is a conglomerate and a mixture of different voice data that creates a new, completely synthetic voice? Will the data that in the recordings that you provide be used to train AI? You know, what is the purpose of what they need this data for? So that would be something I would suggest looking at. It's navavoices.org/AI questions. But I would say in general, there's not many clients or posts or requests for AI voices where they're going to compensate you fairly for what you're providing them. You've got to think about it in the long run, because if they are cloning your voice, Victoria, they could essentially pay you once and every client in the world could use your voice in that AI forever without you ever seeing another cent. So it's very tricky to try get a contract in place where you are compensated fairly for what you're actually providing them. Because why would someone hire you to record the voice if they could, for, $1 or $2, have a subscription on a site that they can get you to read that voice in your AI clone? Why would they pay you, $100 for that when they can do it for 1% of that price? So I think in the long term, it's probably not a good idea to take those jobs. I mean, I would say I would be happy with being paid $15 million for a clone of my voice. Then I'll quit voiceover, because that's approximately what I will be earning for the rest of my voiceover career. So if someone's going to clone my voice and start using it, that's what I would charge them. but I mean, it's not going to happen. No one's going to pay someone like that. It's just not worth it at this moment. However, what I would say is, if you are looking to explore the idea of an AI clone, as long as you have access to that clone and the clients don't, you can offer that clone as a alternative costing to your own voice services. So you can clone your own voice and you can use tools like 11 Labs, for example. You can clone your voice and you personally will have access to that. It won't be for public use. It won't be for anyone to use. You will have access to that. And in your service providing capacity, you can say, well, for me, this job, if I was to record it in my own studio, it's going to cost you $500. But if that's too much for your budget, I can have my AI clone do it for half that. And then you can generate that AI voice for them, send them that file of their script, and still get paid fairly for it. But you're in control of it, not them. So you create the files, you create the audio, and you send it to them. Because as soon as they're in control of the clone, that's where you're going to get cut out of the picture completely. I don't know if that helps.
Makes sense. It really makes sense. She's not able to speak right now, but I hope she'll be able to react. Where is she? I just can't. I hope she's... Okay, she's still here. Victoria is still here. Okay, I just saw her right below. All right. Thank you to all our speakers. Wangu, you had to leave. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining in. T-Code, Paul, Manny, Gwen, Mo, Princess Rita, Fumi. Yes, I'm going to mention everybody's name. ODG, Sparkle, Mina, Pablo, Ola, Freak. I'm not sure. Temi Tope, Ola, Oluwa, Jeremy, Francis, Semba, Jeremiah. Thank you so much for joining for tonight's session. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Tony Doe. If you are not yet in our community, APVA community, I sent in a link right below. Please join us. We have over how many? We have a lot of people. Voice over artists, spoken word artists, poets, podcasters, producers, different kinds of audio creators right in our community. I know we have Manny in our community. We have Gwen. We have T-Code. We have Princess. Princess is our community manager. We have Tony Doe. Tony Doe is in our community. Mo is in our community. So what are you waiting for? All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Let me let you all go. I can see Victoria requested to speak. Victoria, is it really important? Okay, I'll give you 1 minute, please. Then we'll leave here tonight. I think you would like to say one more thing. So, Victoria, yeah, you can speak now. Still connecting. I'm guessing she's having network issues. Well, Victoria, I guess you can send Andrew a DM. Andrew, that's allowed, right?
You guys are welcome to send me a DM. But honestly, the best place to go, just go to my website. It's bigmouthstudios.co.za. It's on my profile. If you click my name, it's in my bio. And then in the top right-hand corner of that website, there is a link called Book a VO Consultation. This is a free consultation for 30 minutes. You can book time with me. It links to my calendar. If you've got questions, we can sit on a chat, and I can answer anything you like. You can just book some time with me there. Otherwise, I'll respond to DMs if I get them. But it is going to be better to either email me at on my email address or book that VO consultation.
All right, everyone. Good night. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Grace.
Yeah.
I think everyone else has left. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, everyone. Thanks, Andrew. We'll see you on LinkedIn.
All right.
100%, man. We'll catch you there.
Thank you for listening to the episode. Become a member of ABVA today. Visit abva.africa to learn more.